This episode is brought to you by Impossible Foods. When the world is telling you to eat less meat because it's bad for the environment and bad for your health, Impossible Foods wants you to eat more meat. Yes, that company that makes meat from plants, Impossible Foods. By creating delicious, nutrient-packed meat from plants that's better for the planet. Impossible lets you enjoy some of your favorite meaty products with a plant-based twist. Ground beef, home-style meatballs, sausage patties, and so much more. All made from plants. Check out ImpossibleFoods.com to see how you can help solve the meat problem with more meat. That's ImpossibleFoods.com.
Betches Media presents.
I really want to lose 3 pounds.
Yeah, no, don't put me down for cardio.
Diet starts tomorrow.
Exercise gives you endorphins. Endorphins make you happy.
I want to quit the gym.
Happy people just don't shoot their husbands.
With hosts Aileen Cooperman.
Joey doesn't share food.
And Sammy Fishbein.
Whatever, I'm getting cheese fries.
Hello, welcome to Diet Starts Tomorrow. I'm Aileen.
I'm Sammy.
How are you feeling?
You're supposed
Sam?
To say we're back.
We're back. No, I know. We're always back. You can count on us. Be back and have your backs, by the way. But we won't talk about that. So
indeed.
What's up with you, Saman? How's life? This is a check-in episode. We've had a few guests and we just I loved Sarah's as a guest, Bird's Papaya. She is like a trailblazer.
I could listen to her talk forever. Love her. Love her. And we hope you guys like the episode too. Let us know what you thought. This episode, we are coming off of our feelings from from that episode and from, you know, just another week on the intuitive eating journey.
And that's what it is, a journey. So we
a journey. Yes.
So we like love feedback and we love hearing Dear's thoughts on everything that we talk about. And well, this is kind of what we want to discuss. Sammy responded in the Facebook group that like we love this thread, this one specific thread that we're going to reference and that we wanted to talk about it. So that's kind of what we wanted to touch on along with like kind of how we're both doing right now this week. You know, tensions are high across the country and
across the nation, the land,
across the nation,
across the land. The reason that this was so, this thread was interesting to us is because it actually, I think, represents kind of like the number one misconception and general critique that you hear when people talk about intuitive eating. And, you know, it has its critics, obviously. So should we read the comment? Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, I'll read it. Has anyone else gotten a little sick of the anti-diet culture talks that seem to be the hottest topic for every fitness/diet Instagram lately? I'm all about loving yourself and wherever you're at, but I'm getting tired of being told to listen to my body as if that's not what got me here in the first place. Crying, laughing emoji. Like, I feel that. I'm not advocating for crash diets or hating yourself, but it seems like now you aren't allowed to better yourself or want to actively diet or lose weight without being shamed or told to just accept that this is your natural body. Does anyone else feel like this? This trend reminds me of the obnoxious posed versus not posed influencer trend. Like, yes, we're all aware you are human and can push out your stomach and make a silly face in one photo. I think the assumption that we are all mindless followers blindly consuming content is so frustrating and condescending to me.
And then there were a lot of comments about it, like some talking about like, yes, I lost so much weight. I feel like a different person. I feel healthier now. And then there are a lot of people are like, well, this is not really about that. So we just kind of wanted to talk about that because, you know, it's also when you said like this is a common misconception about intuitive eating. I also think it's like when you're going through this like learning to eat, which is really what intuitive eating is. Mm-hmm. It's you hear this also in your head as a previous dieter. So it's like I'm reading this thread. I'm like, this is my inner psyche.
Yeah.
You know? But I think maybe the way to frame it, Sammy and I were talking on the side is not maybe like, maybe the words intuitive eating sound like the
woo woo.
It's what we're really trying to do is learn how to eat again. Dieting once and losing a bunch of weight and then like keeping it off and just kind of maintaining this lifestyle. If that works for you, that's fucking amazing. Like, I wish I was you, right?
Right.
But for us, we've yo-yo dieted our whole lives. Like we've said in the beginning of this podcast years ago, I've been on a diet since I came out of the womb. And for having been on the diet, I don't actually know what I, Aileen, inside Aileen, likes. Like, I don't know what I like to eat. I don't know what I actually don't like to eat. There's so much learning and unlearning that needs to be done for me to be able to just be.
So, yes, there is a distinction between like a person who loses weight for like wants a health reason, like, or that maybe like this is just, it felt good for them and that's what they did. There's a difference between that and what I/we have, experienced in our lives, which I liken. I think the best way to look at this is like looking at it as a recovery process from disordered eating, like as if you are like, I analogize it with like sobriety. So like, for example, when someone becomes sober, they cannot have any drinks. Like they can't, they have to, like in the first year that people are sober, like they have to actually like adjust their lifestyles and see what they're, and like, can't, you know, maybe you don't want to get certain messages or be around certain people or certain like environments. And that's why like the, when you're starting out with intuitive eating and this recovery process from disordered eating, that's why it might, that is the time to like sort of shield yourself from messages that might be unhelpful in your healing. So yes, it is okay for someone to want to lose weight. Like I have no hate or anything judgment against that, like at all.
Zero. I think we should state that like very, very clear. Like
yeah.
We don't want to judge anyone for anything. The last thing we want to do is shame anybody for any decisions that you're making. Like at all, like everybody has their own story, has their own intentions, has their own, you're entitled to do what you want to do. So we're not here to bash anything. I just want to say we have compassion for almost everyone.
Well, I think the distinction is that like, we are not here at this point. Maybe when this podcast started, we were trying to achieve a physical goal of becoming healthier and losing weight. But right now, like my goal is fully a mental health goal. It is like learning how to have a proper relationship, I don't want to say proper, a relationship with food that doesn't cause me obsession, that doesn't lead me to be upset and angry and feel like I'm suffering around food, like feel like I need to cancel plans because I'm afraid of what I'll eat at a dinner, to feel angry at myself for the things I ate, to stare at myself in the mirror, looking, am I thin? Am I fat? Like I see that as something that I'm not, a sign that I'm not okay. Like, not my weight. Like when I go to the doctor, like my vitals are healthy. So it's not that I'm doing this like for physical reasons. Like it's because I don't want to feel obsessed and unhappy when I go about the normal act of encountering food.
Yeah. And I think, and I'm with you on that. Like I discovered so many of my habits as I talked about this, like the bottom that I sort of a rock bottom that I hit, like at the intersection of the pandemic and being post, wedding, and like the panic attack anxiety, like spiral that I felt that I thought was due to like the unknown of the pandemic. But when I really, really looked into it, it was because I felt so out of control with eating and gaining weight and I didn't understand why, because when really my intentions were to lose weight and it was the opposite. So I really needed to like unpack that and understand like, why am I feeling like this? And it's like exactly the same thing that you just said, Sammy. It was like, I discovered that really I'm feeling the anxiety from dieting. But again, that said, not everybody has that. Not everybody has disordered eating. Not everybody has a eating disorder. But like, the name of this podcast is Diet Starts Tomorrow. It's this acknowledgement of the binge diet cycle. Like that's what it is. We eat uncontrollably over the weekend. And then tomorrow, well, not over the weekend, but usually the diet starts Monday. And then Monday, the diet goes to help to eating whatever. But really what we're learning to do is trying to understand how to have balance. And a lot of people are like, oh, intuitive eating is just eating what you want. No, it is not. And it doesn't ignore nutrition. You need to know, you have to have the education of nutrition in order to make sound decisions sometimes, but that needs to come after you feel like you've healed your relationship with food. What you really need to, the goal is to have neutrality when it comes to food. Like you can't, the goal is to not put value in lettuce over a piece of dark chocolate. So
right.
It's neutrality, and that's the goal. It's not like, it's not a rewarding yourself for eating less calories in a day. It's not shaming yourself for eating more. That's what we want to learn how to kind of fix within ourselves.
Right. Well, the account No Food Rules had a great post I sent you with the other day, or yesterday. And it was, I'll describe it. It's a side-by-side picture, what people think I eat, and she's holding a donut, and then side-by-side is with what I actually eat, and it's half a donut and half an apple. And her caption basically explains what people get wrong about living without food rules, like about intuitive eating, which is that it means that you're supposed to pick the most unhealthy thing all the time. But like, she acknowledges that yes, when you first start this, you may reach for like the donuts more because you're trying to build trust with yourself that like it will be there. And I have a good non-scale win to share to that point about like just personal progress. But she talks about like gentle nutrition that like sometimes you really do, you will want an apple. Like once you allow yourself to trust yourself that there don't have to be value judgments on every single food choice you make, every bite you take. Once you learn that, like your body will nourish itself.
Right. I mean, okay, just to go back again, like if you want me to do like a live reading of the intuitive eating book, like I will, there are 10 principles. One of them is gentle nutrition. That's what it's called. One of them is moving your body. So like nobody's ignoring the health that comes from exercise. Nobody's ignoring the health benefits of eating nutrient-dense foods. That's why there are so many dietitians these days that follow intuitive eating principles. They want to teach you kind of how to eat. That's really it. They want to teach you how to understand what you like. And then the goal again, neutrality with food. And the hope is to eventually just kind of eat what you need. Of course, there's so many foods out there that are meant to be like overconsumed. Like that's why how they're made. Nobody's ignoring that. But like if you're eating those foods over and over and over and over and over again, that's not the food's fault all the time. Maybe there's something emotional going on. That's something to unpack. You know, there's so many factors. And again, like I just want to go back to those principles. A lot of people have said like, again, eating whatever you want, is that just intuitive eating? No. That is not. But in one of the first principles, it's allowing yourself to eat whatever you want because that's the path. That's how you get to neutrality. You need to allow yourself to have the cookie. If you've never, I haven't had a cookie for 3 years. You know what I mean?
Well, it's also learning like it's like, do I like something or put it on a pedestal? Want to bring back the pizza on a pedestal? Am I glorifying that food because I actually like it? Or am I glorifying it because my calorie tracker said it was too many calories and like it became this treat, this like special thing to me? Like I sent you yesterday, I went to the supermarket and I bought like those Walmart cookies. It wasn't Walmart, but like, you know, the ones guys like with the frosting on the top,
the ones you don't buy.
Yes. Yeah. The ones I learned do not buy. These are like the devil
empty
cookies.
Empty calories.
Okay. I bought them. I was like, I'm going to see if I like them. So I bought them and like, I realized I like the part with the frosting and they're not actually good and I don't want to buy them again.
Yeah.
But like letting myself do that, the power is now gone.
Exactly. It gives you the power.
Right.
That's what it does. It's being in front of those cookies and saying, I don't like them versus I can't have them.
Right. And like I'm never going to walk into a supermarket and see those cookies and be like, oh my God, I wish those were the bad cookies.
Neutrality is taking foods off of the pedestal, is getting rid of the pedestal. Everything is an even playing field. Sure, some might be way more nutritious than others. Of course, that's a fact based on the ingredients.
But you might but that want that.
Exactly. You do want it. But again, there is a piece of intuitive eating where you do need to allow yourself to eat whatever you want. But again, this is something we want to reframe. Again, this isn't just eat whatever you want. Let's just call it like food exploration. That's really what you're doing. It's either allowing yourself to have trying the cookie because you haven't allowed yourself to have it in 3 years, or eating the cookie because you want to have it instead of eating it because you don't allow yourself to have it and you're like binging it because you're just
afraid you won't get to have it for a while.
Again, right.
This episode is brought to you by Azo. The Azo brand wants the world to stop treating women's health like a dirty word. Because the reality is, UTIs, yeast infections, and bladder control issues are common among women. But dealing with them is an uncommon act that many women are skittish about due to judgment, shame, and inaction. The Azo brand offers probiotics, prebiotics, and vaginal suppositories that help keep your vaginal health in check every day. Like Azo Complete Feminine Balance, designed with a clinically studied probiotic blend that helps restore natural balance of good bacteria. Also, Azo Boric Acid suppositories support and help with vaginal odor control. And Azo Dual Protection provides extra protection from the common cycle of urinary and vaginal issues. Everyday things like stress, your cycle, sex, and certain medications like antibiotics or the pill can disrupt your vaginal microbiome, allowing unfriendly bacteria to impact pH or extra yeast to grow. Guys, you shouldn't feel ashamed. Azo's got you covered. I'm a big fan of Azo. I actually keep it in my bathroom now because the last thing you want to do when you have a UTI is to run out to the pharmacy. So keep it stocked at home like I do and you never have to worry about it. I cannot recommend it enough. And you can save 20% now with promo code BETCHES on AZOPRODUCTS.com. Don't know which product you need? Take the quiz to learn more.
There's one thing that underlies the entire thing, which kind of goes back to us being that we're not anti losing weight. I think people conflate being anti losing weight with being anti fat phobia, because the key thing that allows you to really trust yourself is body neutrality and accepting that fat phobia is a dangerous thing for society, not just for you, you might not get treated any worse. But societally, people who are overweight receive worse care. Fat phobia is inherently racist. It affects health outcomes. It is a patriarchal value. And you can have space in your head for someone or yourself to lose weight while also being anti-fat phobia. And fat phobia is a societal thing. The personal decision about losing weight or the need to lose weight or the desire to lose weight is incumbent on the individual. So it's about asking yourself, do I want to lose weight because of like, what are my intentions in wanting to lose weight? Essentially, right. is it because society told me I need to be thin, or is it because like I feel like I have, you know, not been eating well and I've been like feeling just out, you know, out of sorts for yourself? Like, there's a lot of reasons people fluctuate in their weight and then maybe want to like drop a few pounds. Maybe they've, you know, been depressed, or they, you know, I don't even want to say it has to be that they've been depressed. Like, we've been much more sedentary in the pandemic. It could be anything. Like, there's nothing wrong with if that doesn't feel like right for you and you want to go back to a body that feels more yourself. There's a difference between that and feeling like you are not acceptable at a higher weight.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's something that we obviously struggle with, is the fear of gaining weight for us personally.
Well, what do you feel about the fact that like another critique of intuitive eating is that there are a lot of really like thin people out there who are the ones pushing it?
That criticism of intuitive eating, like I said that out loud over on the podcast, like I feel like this is really only for thin people who can like kind of just, you know, gain 20 pounds and still be considered societally thin, you know? And there was a lot of comments in the thread about like, I'm 5 feet taller. I'm 4'11". Like, I can't afford to just eat whatever I want. I'm 5 foot as well. And I am going through those same that same thing for me, like eating just 100 calories over what I'm the BMR or whatever that I used to go put in my fucking calculator, like that would cause me to gain weight. And that is something that is so, so difficult to like to grapple with because
100 calories is what we were told a snack is. 100 calories,
nothing. But then I remember that all of that is there are approximations. Calories on food is approximated. There's like 20% variance. And nothing is perfect. A lot of foods have, based on the nutrition of the foods, the way that it reacts to your body is different. Calories aren't necessarily all equal, but in terms of fat loss, yes, they are. So like, I don't know. There's just so much. There was just a lot that came out through this thread that I feel like immediately made me like you and I be like, there's a lot of confusion about this. We need to just kind of talk about it. But Sammy and I are in different parts also of our journey of intuitive eating. Like we're just in different parts. I've found that I've done a lot of the food exploration, and I've also learned that it's not like linear at all. Like I could be exploring, I could learn that I need to explore like mac and cheese in like 5 months from now, you know, because I haven't gotten there yet. But I could also be trying to, I'm right now, I'm really, really trying to learn about how to not fear gaining weight. And again, Sammy, we talked about this. This whole thing is about an exercise of trusting yourself. I've never trusted myself. I've always trusted an external thing, diet, whatever, to tell me what I need to be doing, and just believing that I have the answers is the hardest part. And believing in that, believing in my gut, no pun intended, but learning about that adds so much value to my life in other places. Having that skill of trusting yourself helps in many, many different ways, in like work, oh, yeah, in my relationship, you know, in decision-making. Sometimes I'm extremely indecisive, and it's because I don't trust myself. I don't trust my, right, my immediate, like my thought process. So,
okay. So do you remember when we did our intuitive eating episode like 2 years ago? And like, yeah, I read the book. So I tried to do it back then. And I think that like culturally, I did not have enough support. Like, I think that the fact that the culture has come a long way is what's like partially allowing me to do this now. Also the fact that after reading that book, I went on like, I did gain weight, and then I went on like a 2-year wedding diet basically, which ruined me. Like it literally ruined me. And I remember reading in the intuitive eating book that like some people have to try this more than once. And
yeah,
I feel like this time I feel much more like supported in what's going on. I feel like what I'm doing now is much more like values based. I do actually feel like I have like an emotional and like conviction about that, like these values that kept me on a diet are bad. Like I don't want to live with them. Also, like people, I don't want to speak about like hate, like the Haze movement or anything, but when people equate like weight and physical health, I just know that like this yo-yo dieting that I'm doing is not, maybe it's not physically healthy for me in the long run. And like, I can't, like, I see my mother, like what she's like, I see her path. I don't need to do this. I don't need to be like that. It's not healthy to spend your whole life doing that. And like, I just don't really want to do it anymore.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I also have noticed so many different like diet triggers around me. Like they're so much more obvious now, mm-hmm, and I would have fallen trapped to them. And it's again, that it's a discussion of the intention of wanting to lose weight. These triggers, mm-hmm, for me, like I was talking to my friend, and when you were like noticing this girl like on social, like this TV person, like she looks completely different. And we were trying to figure out why she looks different. Fun activity. And we were like, maybe she got a nose job. And I'm like, no, she just lost so much weight. It's drastic weight loss. She's like, you're right. And then immediately in my head, I'm like, maybe I should do that. Like that was my first reaction to that. And then I never said this to my friend before. And I was like, it really fucking sucks that this is my first reaction is that like, maybe I shouldn't eat anything. And then I was like, no. Then she was like, no, eating sometimes pasta's better. Pasta tastes better. Yeah. She's like, it sounds easy at first, but really like the balance is what we should strive for. And I was like, yep. And then I moved on. But before, had I got on a diet the next day, diet starts tomorrow, my intentions would have been from that picture. It would have been just like wanting to have that, wanting other people to have a reaction to me the same way I had a reaction to that picture. Yeah. And that was like kind of it. But I am noticing that like, I eat like pretty balanced. Like I make most of my meals. I'm like, I've opened my eyes to the fact that a sandwich is a well-balanced meal. Like I'm making really good meals. And sometimes I want pasta. Sometimes I don't want pasta. Like last night, Rusty was like, I have this massive chicken parm sandwich from lunch. I can't wait for you to try it. And first, my reaction was not fear, because that would have been my reaction originally. It would have been like, oh my God, what am I going to, I'm going to eat the whole thing. I just know it. I'm like, it wasn't. I was like, oh, I can't wait to try. But I was like, wait, but I need to make sure that we have enough food for dinner, because that's not enough for me. I bought a lot of vegetables. I bought a lot of zucchini and broccoli. I want to make that. And so I made this like really good kind of vegetable bolognese, because again, in that moment I was like, do I need pasta? I'm not in the mood for it. And I didn't put it in. Again, but if you look at that from like without my thought process, you might say that I was dieting.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, the beauty is sometimes realizing like you actually don't want all the foods all the time. I imagine like in the group thread, maybe not everyone who's commenting on the thread or reading the group has listened to all the episodes and like witnessed this journey, like as it has played out. But that is really key to understanding the whole thing and the whole process. Like any one point on the journey isn't really going to tell you that much. It's more about like, what does the whole thing look like long term?
What's the big picture, and what point in the process are you? It's not like absolute. In fact, in the book, it says absolute thinking hurts. Actually, you mean live in the pink. Like so many of these episodes, so many of what we talked about in each episode is just like a piece of the puzzle. It's not the whole thing. We can't talk about all of intuitive eating with our experience with all of it, because we haven't experienced all of it yet.
Right. And it's what we were experiencing 3 weeks ago is not the same thing that we're experiencing now.
It's like a process.
Like if you listen to the episodes right after my wedding, all I'm doing is talking about how much I want like all this food, blah, blah, blah. Like, and before my wedding, I'm like, I hate diets. And then I also had the like, should I have dieted for my wedding phase? And like that too is all part of the process. Like the being unsure is like, it's not like you're either. I think that there's also like this, because we're also used to like starting a diet at a set point tomorrow, like you are not on the diet and then you are on the diet. That's not how intuitive eating really is. It's not like you're like doing it one day and then like not doing it the other. It's an exploration.
It's an exploration. It's a learning. It's a learning how to eat again, or for once.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Nuuly. Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always find the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you, Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for this season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any 6 styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There are no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. They also have inclusive sizing up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. And you always have the option to buy what you love. I love Nuuly. I've rented so many cute things from there, and I've even made a few purchases from there. And
They're always spot on. They have so many brands that I honestly could never afford in real life. So it's great to be able to rent them. Newly is a great value at $98 a month for any six styles. But right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Newly when you sign up with the code DST20. Just go to Newly, that's NUULY.com, and enter the code DST20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's NUULY.com, Newly with two U's, with code DST20. Newly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes. Warmer weather is finally back. After so many cold months, it's nice to get outside and soak up the sun. But the springtime always brings those unwanted guests, pollen and seasonal allergies. April showers bring spring flowers and sniffly noses and stuffed up sinuses. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. I suffer from seasonal allergies. I just had them hit the other day. I couldn't breathe through my nose at all. And I popped a Claritin and it was like night and day. I'm a huge fan of Claritin. I use it on the regular and it always helps when we're making that transition from winter to spring, which is when my allergies flare up. Mainly, it's my sinuses that get so clogged and the Claritin just clears it right up. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy throat and nose, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. Ready to live your life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed.
There's one quote pulled from the thread that I wanted to read. The quote is, "If I just listened to my body, I would not be happy or healthy." Question. When you say that out to yourself, you type it out, where did you get that idea? Why do you think that? Like, that's something I feel like you should ask yourself, because I've thought that before. It's a no trust. I remember, like, after my wedding, I had zero trust in myself. I was like harassing my dietitian. I was like, how many calories should I be having? Like, how many macros? Like, what should I be eating today versus tomorrow? Is 1600 calories okay? I feel like I'm going to gain too much weight from that. Like, what should I be eating? It was like remember I said this, she like told me to stop. She's like, you need to stop counting today. I'm seeing a little bit red flags.
Yeah.
Where did that come from? Where was that implanted in you that you would not be happy or healthy if you just listened to your body? Who told you that? Because I think it's diet culture. Yes, diet culture told you that. They tell us that we can't listen to our body. We need a plan. We need a plan to tell us how to eat. We are overindulgent American obese monsters. That's what we're being told. Every diet book starts.
Well, that's because the American food industry is driven by profit, not because the human beings who are forced to consume American foods are the problem. But something you said about like the triggers that are like uncovered, like are sort of out there everywhere. I was watching I don't remember who. Oh, it was on The Great British Bake Off. One of the judges was like, they said that like a certain type of food is fattening, or type of cookie or pastry, whatever. And thinking, I'm like, what a strange way to describe a food. Because one cookie, one food is not going to fatten you. Like, it's physically not possible.
I think she meant that there is a lot of fat in it. There is a lot of butter in that food.
But who is it? But fattening, the word itself is like a word that projects onto the thing that is being fattened.
I know, but I think that
was
what
she meant. Fattening. It's not fattening itself. So it's so bizarre. Like, the language is really...
There is a lot of language that like projects that food onto to the result of what's going to happen when you eat it.
Guilty pleasure.
There's like a whole dictionary of
who are you cheating? What are you cheating? You're not cheating on taxes. But what is the cheating? The cheating implies that someone is being cheated. Who is being cheated?
The diet is being cheated.
The big diet. Who is the big diet? The big diet in the sky.
Yeah. Yeah. Whoever is implanting these ideas in our head is being cheated.
But who? Okay.
Who?
But I think that it comes down to here's another one. I was good. I was bad. It's like, you weren't good or bad. Like, why are you qualifying all of your behaviors as good or bad? Is that healthy? Is that a healthy way to live your life?
Right. I think also, just to pull it out further, speaking of health, is this definition of what health is. Also, our obsession with being healthy and what that means. To me, the way that I have learned to define now health is truly balance and balance doesn't mean doing the same thing every single day. Like it, this in the same kind of,
which I used
like
to
pie chart.
Yeah. And turkey then slices for breakfast.
Yeah.
Salad for lunch, 365 calories.
Right. Health for me is working on, not being stressed, is removing triggers that give me anxiety, noticing what gives me anxiety. I find that when I have anxiety, I tend to then eat not according to my intuition or, you know, so it's really like finding what makes me kind of feel good and noticing that those behaviors kind of come hand in hand. Healthy behaviors promote healthy behaviors. And when I say healthy, I mean balanced. And when I pinpoint the things that make me go off balance or unhealthy, it's usually mental health things. And that's, again, brings us back to the original point that this is a progress in mental health. And this is something making ourselves, bettering ourselves has nothing to do with what we eat. It's our relationship with what we eat and our relationship with our mind to what we eat. And and reframing our intentions when we're hungry, not to say, oh, I'm so good. Like you said, Sammy, I'm hungry. I made it to
right. I texted you that the other day.
My body needs some food. I should give my body some food. It's saying that calories are good. We need them, not bad. Like we should try to eat all zero calorie things. It's health is also not being afraid of gaining weight and not thinking that you're going to gain weight because you ate like one pint of fish food in a night. Like health is exploring why you ate the pint of fish food that night. Fish food ice cream, by the way. I'm not talking about like actual food for a fish. I mean, Ben and Jerry's fish food, the best flavor. It's exploring what made you do that and trying to understand and giving and being compassionate. And that's really, that to me is health.
Yeah. I mean, I think the diet industry has co-opted the term like bettering yourself, like you're making yourself better. Like, okay, like that's also inherently fat phobic to assume that better equals smaller, thinner, fewer calories consumed. Like I feel better mentally now that I don't have to every single day live in fear of what I will eat. And I used to look forward to the day ending so that I could like close my calorie app down, and I would get increasingly anxious at night about will I break it? Will I break it? Like, will I make it through the end of the day without breaking it? And like, I guess we can just
checking it over and over again.
Checking it. Yeah. I guess I can just, because that's the only validation and like high that you can get from dieting, which is an addiction. Staring at photos of yourself too. But
yeah,
we can transition to non-scale wins because I think this is like a good time to share it. But mm-hmm. I have not binged in weeks. Like I have not That's had great. An actual binge in weeks. And to talk about like to just give like one very, very large piece of progress that has like already happened for me is that like, okay, I never used to be able to keep food in my house. Like before I lived with Avi, my fridge was empty other than condiments. And like even sometimes the condiments into something gross to feed myself. Okay. So I couldn't trust myself to have one item that was like delicious or could be made into something. I couldn't trust myself to have anything in my home. When I moved in with Avi, I could only trust myself to have vegetables or like turkey or eggs, things that like I would not want to binge. And that's not normal. Like that's not normal. And if I did bring something into the house, I would eat it immediately. Like it would be gone that day, that night before I went to sleep, whether that's a pint of ice cream, a quart of ice cream, an entire cake. Like I would make myself sick. You've all heard me say that.
Yeah.
Okay. So since doing this, I've started buying whatever I want. So now I sent you a picture of my pantry. I have bags of Halloween candy. I have multiple flavors of ice cream. I have cookies. I have chips. I have everything. And I have not binged once. I eat like a little bit when I want it or a lot when I want it. But like, I have not actually like gone out of control or overeaten since then. And like,
that's huge. That's amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Because also like, I know you, but anybody who's listened to the podcast maybe a year ago, you would speak to any expert yeah. who would come on and be like, but what you, there's the, what's going to make me stop eating? Like, blueberries, like pints and yeah. pints of blueberries over the garbage. yeah. Like, and that's just binge.
Yeah.
That's just and binge now, activity.
Like, I will literally take a photo of we went upstate, but like what the food like we have here that we brought here. Like, there's so much ice cream in this house. There's so much shit that I want or like in theory would want, but I actually, when I say want, like I actually don't want it. Like, it's here if I want it.
Right. That right. Yes. I've done something similar is that like, I don't wait until I finish some ice cream to buy another one to make sure that I have it.
Me too. I bought like two of everything because I didn't want to like feel like, oh, if I get to the end
and
of this,
it's not
like,
done yet. It's still there. And I'm like, wow, I've never known this. I've never seen this alien where yeah. it's just like, I have it and it's fine. It's frozen. It'll be fine. Get some freezer burn. Maybe I don't even like it that much. Maybe right. that's why I don't, you know, maybe I don't need it.
I used to never understand people who could like have all that stuff in their house because I would be like, how do you not just eat all of it like at once?
Right.
And now I am one of them. Like, it's kind of crazy. And it really only took me like 2 months, a month and a half.
I'm just telling you, it goes in waves, but yeah. It feels amazing. And also it takes a while. Like I was trying to explore Oreos, right? I was trying to explore, do I even like them? Or is there they're such like an anti-diet food that I've avoided them, restricted food that I've avoided them. And so in the beginning, I would go through them so fast. And now I have it. They're, you know, I'll eat one if I want. Maybe I'll eat two another day. It's never in this. I feel like I've truly achieved neutrality with Oreos.
Yeah. Because like
Oreo neutrality.
Yeah. Because you can start to like, once you realize like it's there and I'm not going to take it away from myself. And that's why the body acceptance is key because you need to trust that you're not going to take it away in the future because that's what allows you to keep it there. Like,
And trust that you won't gain weight if you eat it too.
Right, right, exactly. Like, it becomes so much easier to ask yourself, like, what do I really want? And then it almost becomes like disrespectful of yourself to overeat or not to. Yeah. I don't want to say overeat because obviously, like, sometimes you do. But like, I actually have stopped putting myself into pain because, which is disrespectful of myself. Yeah. I don't trust myself enough that I need that I will allow myself to have this tomorrow, that I need to eat it all right now. And that was causing me pain. What's your non-scale win?
My non-scale win is very like nuanced. This morning, literally IRL in real time, non-scale win. This morning, we had a meeting in the morning, and I knew we had right from this meeting, we had this podcast. And right before that, I wasn't like that hungry. And I just made myself coffee and I was like, oh, you know, I immediately felt that like, oh, you know, just don't eat breakfast.
Intermittent fasting.
You're going to have a great intermittent fasting day. And, you know, just coffee's enough. And then I was like, I literally spoke to that voice and I was like, I'm going to be hungry and hangry if I don't eat something right now. And I'm not going to have a good episode. I'm not going to be able to concentrate during my meeting. And let me just have just like a little cereal, hold me over, or would I have cereal with some yogurt and hold me over and then see how you feel after. And I did. And that was such an amazing moment because it was, I like tapped into every like kind of intuitive like space decision-making thing that I could have. I was like, I considered my hunger. I considered how I'd feel later, how it would go on my mood. What am I in the mood for? What am I not in the mood for? And I like, cause one of my favorite chapters in it, Intuitive Eating, is the one about like the food police or like the voices in your head. You guys should really just fucking read it. And it's really quick read. And that's kind of the way that I approached that situation was from like an anthropologic standpoint. I was just exploring how I'm feeling without judging, without judgment. And here I am. I don't feel hungry. I had a little bit something to eat. I'm able to concentrate. And it's neither good nor bad. It just is. It is.
Right. And it doesn't need to be like the drama of, it doesn't need to drive your morning.
And who knows, if I hadn't eaten, I maybe would have eaten way too much right after. Is that healthy? Tell me, is that for everybody who's saying, oh, you know, intermittent fasting, it's unhealthy to eat in the morning. Maybe what about eating way, 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 way too much because you're hungry and not really like eating what you want to be eating, a balanced meal.
Right. So, well, I mean, when you think about it biologically, like some days you might want to intermittently fast naturally. Some days maybe you really don't, and imposing that on yourself maybe isn't good.
It's a way to approach kind of your life in like a way, in the way that it fits. If I didn't have this podcast to record or a meeting, maybe I would have waited a little bit longer to eat because I wasn't hungry in that moment. But I knew that I would have been, because it would have been like 3 hours later and I knew that I would have been starving and hangry. And I know I can't concentrate when I'm hungry. And I know I get in a bad mood when I'm hungry. So it was just like, let's just give you what you need and move on with our day. And it was great.
You mentioned cereal earlier. That is another food that like was very off limits.
I
eat it for breakfast. Like,
granted, I eat like kind of fakeish, healthy cereal. Like I mix, I got this, Special K like protein cereal, and I eat it with, just go with me on this. And you know, I like Fiber One. So I mix those two. When I was younger, I used to mix like four cereals because I was like, I need all of the tastes. Cause I was like, I'm not going to be able to have all of them. So I just want them all at once. Now I just mix it. And then from Trader Joe's, they have these like dried out strawberries. They're just strawberries, just dried out. And I put them in and I add my milk and I feel good.
Yeah. I finished a box of Life, but I'm also like, I feel like right now, next I can move on to Rice Krispies or Cheerios.
Yeah. I found that night Rice Krispies. Like I love when
Rice
it crunches.
Krispies. Yeah.
But it doesn't.
When it gets soggy, it's gross.
It's gross. And it also just doesn't like hold you over for any amount.
I haven't
of time.
Had it in years, honestly.
It's like air. But they're good. What they need is some marshmallow and molded into a treat. I wonder what those are called. Now I kind of want to get one. I haven't had one.
Yeah, I'm actually really hungry. I actually had kind of the same thought before because of we had the same meeting. Yeah. And I didn't grab anything to eat because I was like, I'm not hungry right now.
Yeah, but now you get to figure out what you want to eat. Well, I hope this was like good and a good episode for those who, especially for the people who are writing the thread on in the Facebook group. And I hope this just kind of explains to you guys where we're at. We're not trying to like push any type of fucking agenda on anyone. No. We're just trying to explain or express to you guys where we're at. Again, we started this podcast, Diet Starts Tomorrow. It was a reflection of like the way we ate. And now we're eating a little differently and we have to talk about what we're doing, you know? But we're going to continue to bring on experts and guests and people who have all different types of perspectives and who can teach us something, because Sammy and I, you know, we're not the experts. We're just the people with you kind of living it. So please continue to email us, continue to share your, opinions, you can DM me and Sammy at Aileen at Sammy at Diet Starts Tomorrow. Definitely email dst@betches.com if you have any more feedback, if you want us to talk about something, if you have a completely different perspective that you think needs to be heard, like we'd love to read it.
I think it also just kind of goes without saying that like wellness, weight, physicality, body image are also really sensitive topics, and nothing that we ever say here is meant insensitively or judgmentally or, you know, to kind of like knock anyone off of what they're doing. It's really just about like what we're doing and what we've been experiencing. And yeah, I mean, we've been in a lot of, you know, we've been through a lot of phases in the wellness world, and it obviously like consumes a great deal of our headspace. So
for sure.
And we really just want to be here for the, you know, the people who feel the same way, whether, you know, regardless of whether you're doing what we're doing or not. So,
I mean, yeah, listen to our tagline. We're here. We're with you through thick.
We heal and with thin. You.
And we heal. No, that's the other tagline. Well, we're with you through thick and thin, whatever size you are, like whatever you want to do. We're like here. But the things that we're doing are, it's just where we're at right now. So again, guys, go rate, review, subscribe, email us dst@betches.com. Follow us at Diet Starts Tomorrow with Aileen at Sammy. Join our Facebook group, and we're always with you
through thick and thin. Diet Starts Tomorrow is hosted by Aileen Cooperman
and Sammy Fishbein.
Our editor is Sean Kilby. Our podcast producers are Mike Coscarelli, Sean Kilby, and Carly Rice.
And artwork is by Brittany Levine. Be sure to follow us at Diet Starts Tomorrow on Instagram and email your questions and non-scale wins to dst@betches.com.
Thank you to our partner, Impossible Foods. Some people say we would be better off if we ate less meat, which is why Impossible Foods made delicious and nutrient-packed meat from plants. So you can eat more meat, like home-style meatballs, hot dogs, chicken nuggets, and so much more, all made from plants. Impossible creates delicious meat from plants that's better for the planet, so everyone can eat more of it. Check out ImpossibleFoods.com to see how you can help solve the meat problem with more meat. That's ImpossibleFoods.com.
Betches.